Space Podcast.
Weird.
Hey. Welcome to the podcast.
You sound like Bill Cosby.
Don't.
For a minute.
That's probably not the right. It's probably the.
Oh, I should have said Fat Albert.
Of all times, it's probably not the time to want to sound
no,
like
No, I should have said Fat Albert.
Hey, guess what? You found the podcast called Weird.
We are weird.
Yeah, we are.
Ask anybody.
Yep.
They'll tell you.
Hey, I'm Craig.
My name is Aaron.
And we're coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios just outside of Nashville in an undisclosed location. Beautiful day outside.
Beautiful day.
And we've got a bunch of stories here. But, you know, we've got to talk about something first.
What up?
We got to talk about what's happening this Saturday. We're heading north.
That's tomorrow.
If you're in the Nashville area, you hit. Yeah, tomorrow.
It is tomorrow, yes.
If you're in the Nashville area, head north up to White House, Tennessee. Just go up 65 north. We're going to be up there.
We're going to be up there. You can just put White House Library in your GPS machine. Yep. Everybody's got one.
And everybody's got a White House Library? Anyway, and they're having a library. What is it called? Library of Fandom?
It's White House Library Fandom.
It's
yes.
something the weird dudes are going to be there.
That's right.
So we were like, hey, you know, like they might have donuts or something.
And
so
we're not the only dudes are going to be there.
No, there's going to be some other people.
Famous people.
Yeah, there's going to be pretty cool people. So yeah. Anyway.
Mascots.
We're going to be, I think, we're supposed to be there around 10 o'clock.
Tennis? And we've got stickers.
Tennis?
No, we're not paying.
We got stickers, and we got
cards.
We got us.
We got us.
We don't have Sharpies.
We're gonna have our show playing on our table.
We're gonna be like all over that joint.
I'm gonna have one of my favorite T-shirts on too, in case anybody wants pictures.
Pictures?
Yeah,
yeah. A picture of the guy that says pitcher.
Yes. And don't forget to like us on our social. Because we like to be liked.
We like to be social.
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
That's not true at all. I don't like to be social.
I don't really either, but we're on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes.
And right now we're on the podcast airwaves.
We are, and we're on the Twitter.
We're on the Twitter, on the Facebook.
We're on the Twitter, and we're at 2MADAAM.
We're working out some of the problems. We're still on the tune ins.
Yeah, we are.
We're still on the iHeartRadios.
Yes, we are.
But we're still kind of, you may find us under Two Middle-Aged Dudes if you look, because we may still be under that listed. We're trying to work out those problems.
You can find us anywhere.
Just look for us.
Yeah, we're out
if
there.
If you can't find Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a microphone, look for Weird. Yeah, I said it. I said the old name.
You did, didn't you?
It felt kind of good.
Okay.
Kind of get it out there.
Well, since you said it.
Okay. Give you a reason. Hey, you got a review there?
I do have a review.
Because mine, I can't even read. Look at it.
Yes. This is from C. Nelson 30, and it's 5-star review. It says, these guys are having so much fun, you can't help but join in. Take these guys along for your drive. You won't be disappointed. And I happen to know C. Nelson.
Okay, this is becoming a trend. People are going to think we know everybody that reviews us.
Well, this guy, and he's honest, his name's Kale, and he has a few podcasts floating around out there in the podosphere. One of them is all about ham radio.
Is it called the podosphere?
He's got a ham radio one. It is called the podosphere.
Do you have to keep those refrigerated?
You do. Okay. If you don't, the podosphere starts going bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, he also has a podcast called Modern Christian Man Podcast.
Okay.
And he has really great guests. He's had Dave Jackson, my podcast hero's been on there. Ken, the Black Man with a Gun from the Black Man with a Gun podcast.
I thought you were being racist.
And he had this guy on there. The upcoming episode is a guy named Aaron Lindsay from Weird. So
I probably wouldn't listen to that.
We talked for, I bet, for a good half hour to an hour, and he's going to have that up probably by the time this episode's up. So check out Modern Christian Man Podcast. You'll hear Kel Nielsen himself and yours truly, Craig, Aaron Lindsay.
Oh, great.
You got top story?
I got it.
Top story.
Extremely hangry woman fights McDonald's employee in Des Moines.
Darn it.
She was hangry. It's hungry and angry at the same time.
It right? is, yeah, because I actually get, every time I get hangry, I hear this.
Darn it.
You love that button, don't
yeah,
you?
I do.
Or as the kids say, button.
Button,
they can't
yeah.
pronounce T's for some reason.
It's the hardest button to button.
Button. If you're like under the age of 22, 23, and you say button. You cannot pronounce the T sound.
When did that start?
I don't know. It bugs me.
It bugs me, too. Push the button.
The button. Stop. Ugh.
Push the button.
Now I'm hangry. Extremely hangry woman fights McDonald's employee in Des Moines. A woman gave new meaning to the word hangry on Saturday as she fought with McDonald's employees over a delivery of a meal in the Des Moines Northeast Side.
Really? They deliver up in Des Moines?
Apparently.
Ronald himself brings it to your door.
I don't know. Maybe she meant delivered through the window.
Okay.
Police arrived at the restaurant at 1345 East Euclid Avenue at about 9 p.m. where they met with two employees who said a brawl had broken out.
Brawl.
A brawl.
I like a good brawl.
Yes. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
A little melee action in the parking lot of McDonald's.
Yeah. I love a good brawl at a ceremony for a graduation like we had here.
You're right.
Local.
We did have a brawl there.
We did.
Two men and a woman came to the restaurant.
Oh, that sounds like a podcast name.
Or TV show. Two men and a woman came to the restaurant and ordered McChicken sandwiches, but apparently were hungry and upset about the wait time, according to a police report. You know what? Take a number.
For real.
You know what?
You know, back up.
This is McDonald's, okay? If you got to stand in line behind other people that are angry or hangry.
You'll get your crappy food when you get it.
You get it when you get it. The employees told police the woman came to the counter and started yelling that she wanted either her food or her money back. Give me my...
Expletive.
The woman is heard shouting in the video recorded by another customer. The heated, profanity-laden argument continued between McDonald's staff and the woman, the video shows. The manager is seen handing the woman a McChicken she ordered, but the woman rejects it and throws the chicken sandwich back in her face.
That's not the McChicken I wanted.
That's not the one I wanted. Two men with the woman soon approached the counter, and an employee attempted to dial 911, but the woman knocked the phone out of her hand and then punched her.
Good grief.
She jumped across the counter?
What's wrong with this woman?
In the video, the manager holds back a punch, which prompts the woman to climb the counter and throw punches of her own. She knocks over a couple of bottles, and the fighting continues.
Good night.
Grab her hair! One of the men who accompanied the woman is heard saying in the video. After the woman came across the counter, and a man she was with came through a door behind the counter and grabbed the woman around the throat with his arm, the report states. There were as many as 9 people behind the counter involved in the altercation. And what, they all just stood and watched?
You know what? It's too bad Mayor McCheese wasn't there. He would have put a stop to it.
He can't get his head through the door.
All they had were the Fry Guys.
The Fry Guys.
And they were just hopping around.
So there were as many as 9 people behind the counter
watching,
involved in the altercation, with staff and two men, among others, having to separate the manager and the woman.
It really was a brawl then.
Yes. The men and women
left the scene. I thought you were joking.
No. The men and woman left the scene in a blue four-door Ford pickup. Employees said they believed the irate customers were intoxicated.
You think?
Yeah, really. Two employees were shoved during the altercation, but none was hospitalized for injuries. Amanda Gravely, 34, of Des Moines, captured video of the incident while she was in the drive-thru with her husband and children. She said they were still waiting for the McFlurry they ordered. So she started throwing punches.
Yeah, she threw her McFlurry across the restaurant.
We noticed it was really shorthanded.
Gravely told the Register Sunday night, the drive-thru was packed.
This is Sunday night. You know what? Everybody called in. They wanted to stay home and watch the Predators game.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Gravely said the extremely hangry woman in the video screamed and yelled a lot more prior to when she started recording. She thought the altercation was crazy and was worried about her kids hearing and witnessing it. I want to record in case it escalates.
In case there's gunshots.
Gravely said. Gravely received her McFlurry moments after the brawl concluded. Now we have to think twice. Just how important is that chicken sandwich?
Yeah, really. It's not worth going to jail.
We have some audio.
You know what? I've got a video I'm going to show on our podcast.
You show the video?
All right. Now, this is taken through the drive-thru, so it's kind of muffled. Oh, Craig?
Was that?
Where's your manager? I'm gonna turn it up just a little bit. You hear that?
Give me my money and I will leave.
It gets out of hand in a second. No, I don't have. Ooh, Craig.
Sorry. No, sorry.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
It's those poor kids. They said, Mama, what'd she just? Oh. Okay, that's enough of that.
That's enough. Why'd you play that?
I wanted to put our listener.
And the sad thing was that put our listener in the scene.
Yes. That was
the saddest part.
That was podcast.
Virtual reality.
Yes.
You know what's really sad?
PVR.
Is that the woman was waiting so long for her McFlurry in the drive-thru that
yeah.
she could sit and record the whole thing.
Yeah, that's
but of
right.
Of course, they were kind of preoccupied.
She had plenty of time to get her. Yeah. Shorthanded.
Hey.
Yeah.
Get to the next story.
Next story. Headline is, Cash me outside, girl. Sues gaming companies.
Cash me outside, girl.
Sues gaming companies for using her phrase.
Cash me outside. How about that?
Did she copyright Cash me outside?
Cash me outside. How about that?
Danielle Bergoli, age 14. Her mother, Barbara Ann Bergoli, and their company, Danny B.
They have a company.
You know why they have? I bet they didn't have a company before the Dr. Phil show.
No, they didn't.
So anyway, they're seeking more than $1 million from game developers who published two mobile applications.
Mobile applications.
All I've had to drink is water. Under Anonymous Games Incorporated. How'd they know who to sue?
How do they know who to sue? Exactly.
It's That's anonymous. Using the catchphrase, cash me outside.
Well, they can't use and, the word catchphrase, can they? Because that's a game.
And how about that?
How about that?
How about that? In the lawsuit, Bergoli and her associates are accusing Anonymous Games Incorporated and two other companies, Apnoxious LLC and Squad Social LLC, of infringing on her intellectual property rights. There's no intellectual in
There's nothing
outside.
Intellectual nothing. In her head.
How about that?
How about that?
So why don't you sue weird, Daniel Bergoli? You cash us outside. How about
that? Cash outside. How about that?
The complaint states that Cash Me Outside is an exceedingly simple and completely unoriginal game, which is free, but earns money from advertisements and in-app purchases.
I don't think she would have to trademark that or something.
Yes,
not just copyright.
You can't just say that's mine. You got to do something about it. You got to buy it from our government or something like that. It also claims
from our government or something.
It also claims that the app uses the teenager's voice and an avatar that looks like her.
Okay, now if they use her actual voice, that's different.
Yeah, that is different. The app was the number one downloaded game in the U.S. Now that's
sad.
That
on
is
its own.
Pitiful. That's very sad. Federal records show that Daniel B. Holdings filed a trademark for Cash Me Outside on May the 3rd.
But has it been?
You know, I don't think it's enough time for it to have taken effect, I guess
I
I'd say.
Know.
Who knows?
Drunk Florida woman caught speeding offers burrito
Not
to
again.
Trooper.
You know, I sent you this story and you replied.
And I replied, it makes you wonder if this has worked before.
Why are so many people
trying to get food?
Are these officers starving? Do they look hungry?
They look hangry. A Florida woman allegedly offered a half-eaten burrito.
Oh, that's even worse.
Worse than that, from her purse instead of her license when she was pulled over, authorities said. Alexandria Ignaquina.
What is with drunk people handing Mexican food to officers?
I don't know.
Because we had the guy that offered him a taco.
That's what I'm saying. This guy, if it was the same cop, he'd have a whole meal. He'd have the whole combo.
He's got the combo number three, man.
Anyway, Alexandria Ignaquina, anyway, 39, was stopped on Florida's Turnpike in St. Lucie County at 7:45 p.m. on May 9th after a trooper clocked her going 101 miles per hour, according to T.C. Palm. She admitted that she had been drinking.
My burrito.
Yes, my friend got the green card today, and we have one glass of champagne around 10:30. I don't know why she's starting to sound like she's German.
I like the way she said we had one bottle.
We had one bottle. I mean, one glass of champagne around 10:30, 11 o'clock. She said.
Oh.
Her blood alcohol content registered 0.183, well above the legal limit of 0.08.
Mm-hmm. More than twice the legal limit, actually.
The trooper also found an empty wine bottle in her purse.
How big is this
big
lady's purse?
Yeah. A second bottle in her center console. How big is the console? And a third that was still mostly full.
Why would you have a half-eaten burrito in your... Do you ever save a half-eaten burrito?
Now, here's the deal. How classy are you if you eat burritos with your wine?
You really? I don't even know what a half-eaten burrito looks like because I've never had one.
Is that red wine or white wine that goes with that?
I don't know, but they need some cheese to go with it. Anyway, headline is gun-wielding bandit sought in potato chip robbery at science fiction store.
I thought that was going to be San Francisco.
Oh, I just saw the SF, so I thought it's
true. And you saw SF, and the first thing that comes to mind is science fiction.
I'm a reader, man.
I'm thinking San Francisco.
It is San Francisco.
I know, but I was...
Gotta be.
It is. No, it is. It's certainly in the second sentence.
Certainly it is, because there's no science fiction store that's going to get robbed.
You know what?
It
is California. Everybody out there is pretty much science fiction.
Can we go on?
Yeah. That's my line.
A bandit with an apparent craving for a snack held up a grocery store cashier at gunpoint in the Tenderloin neighborhood. Mmm.
That is a very.
Have you been there?
I've not gone into that district because it is a.
It's a wild area.
It's the adult oriented.
Okay, so anyway, of San Francisco, and made off with several cans of potato chips. They sell potato chips in cans. Had to be, you know what it had to be?
Pringles.
Yeah, had to be. The only ones come in cans.
Can we say Pringles?
Yeah, you know what we'll bill them?
Lay's, or somebody makes them in a can, too.
The junk food robbery occurred around 4:40 p.m. Wednesday at a store in the 500 block of Larkin Street, and police are still searching for the assailant on Friday, officials said. The female suspect entered the store, whipped out a firearm, and demanded the cashier to fork over property, police said. Instead, the cashier, a 32-year-old woman whose name was not released, ran out of the store in fear for her life. When she returned, she noticed that the suspect had stolen a cans of chips.
You know what? If you can't get money, there got to be some good food in there somewhere.
Grab something.
Grab some chips.
Because you're in trouble already.
So like a big bear claw.
You don't want to get in trouble for nothing.
Right. You want to have something.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's going on up in
Flint? This is weird in so many ways.
This is bizarre.
Woman charged with taking 100-plus items from graves to decorate home.
Good. Does she live like in a mausoleum, I wonder?
I just see all these like foam crosses. And
you know what?
Those foam crosses.
With ceramic angels.
Ceramic angels, little wire stands.
Yeah. Rotten flowers.
It's gross. Okay. A Vienna Township woman faces a felony theft charge alleging that she stole more than 100 items from two Genesee County cemeteries and used the pieces to decorate her home. Lisa Corcoran, 44, or is it Corcoran?
Who knows?
Lisa C., 44, is believed to have stolen 100-plus items from 24 graves on six different occasions, Genesee County Sheriff Robert Pickle said Thursday, June 1st. To steal from the dead is an unimaginable act that defies description, Pickle said. This is a new low. He's a pickle. The West Vienna Cemetery and Woodlawn Cemetery both had items stolen on April 1st. Pickle said, following the alleged thefts, there were 4 police reports filed regarding missing ceramic and metal objects. On Monday, May 29th, the witness saw Corsica driving away from a condo development with flowers from porches and back lawns.
Oh, now she's moved up in the world.
She's moved on up. The witness later called police with the license plate number, and the Genesee County Sheriff's deputies were sent to the area. When the silver Pontiac was located, deputies pulled her over found flowers and other items in the back of the vehicle, Pickle said. Investigators seized 188 pieces of property and found that she had decorated her house with flowers and items that were allegedly taken, Pickle said.
Yeah, 188. That's 100 plus. I mean, that
there was a bench taken that was worth $500.
Good night, almighty.
The total value of all the items taken is still unknown. We're hoping that this will be able to restore some peace for the loved ones. Well, if it's the ones in the ground, they're already peaceful. I guess he meant the living family members. Investigators are, we hope. We ain't bells jingling. Investigators are still going through all of the stolen items and hope to return them to families. Those with missing items from the cemeteries should contact the sheriff's department. She was arrested at about 3:30 p.m. on Wednesday, May 31st. Pickle said she remains in the Genesee County Jail in lieu of a $5,000 cash or surety bond.
Did you say cash outside?
They said the cash outside. How about that?
You know, I don't believe in zombies. I don't believe in vampires ghosts.
Well, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
That's stupid.
Zombies are stupid because they have no brains.
Vampires are stupid.
All these things you imagine that could come up in a graveyard or a cemetery should when this lady walks through and get her. That's what I wish on her.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you were able to work through those feelings.
Headline is
New Hampshire.
I just invented a town.
Nice.
We're going
to
New Hampshire. New Hampshire fugitive arrested after singing karaoke at a bar. Now,
we just had a story about the guy who started stabbing people.
Last episode, I believe.
Something
like that. So this comes to us from Plimsford, Massachusetts. A wanted fugitive who was seen singing karaoke at a Massachusetts bar. I have a hard time with that word.
I do too, Massachusetts.
Yes, it's a weird word. At a bar over the weekend was arrested, police said. Nashua DJ Bernie Delano called it a weird coincidence. He said he was at a staff meeting. Oh, I hope he didn't get a staff infection.
Yeah.
Saturday night. He's at a staff meeting Saturday night? At a bar on Princeton Street in Clemsford, Massachusetts, when one of the coworkers pointed out a picture of New Hampshire's Fugitive of the Week. Hey,
wow.
What if he got a medal for that or a trophy or something?
Way to poke him with a snake.
One of my friends said, listen, I think this guy has been to some of our karaoke shows. Be on the lookout, Delano said. It was kind of funny. Ronald Doobie Jr.
Doobie Doobie.
I wonder if he's part of the Doobie Brothers. Doobie. Age 43.
Doobie Doobie.
Was arrested on an outstanding Hillsborough County warrant for failing to appear in court on a charge of failing, another charge of failing to inform duty or something like that. I danced all around that one.
Yeah, you did.
He was featured last week on WMR.com Most Wanted Wednesday. Police said Doobie.
What did you call this station?
I was hoping you wouldn't catch that.
WMR.
He was featured last week on WMUR.com's Most Wanted Wednesday.
Most Wanted Wednesday.
I love Most Wanted Wednesday. It's my favorite, right next to Taco Tuesday.
Most Wanted.
Police said Doobie is registered as a sex offender because he was convicted of aggravated felonious assault in 1995 against a victim younger than 13. Delano said things got even stranger when Doobie messaged him on Facebook. So they're friends on Facebook, obviously.
No.
I see a grudge here somewhere. Out of the clear blue, he Facebooks me. I don't even have him on Facebook. I recognized him immediately. How does he not have... You got to have somebody on Facebook get a message from somebody, unless you accept
it. No, you can send a message. Yeah. They don't necessarily see it. It shows up under other...
So he crafted a plan to get Doobie into the bar. He's going to get
this
guy.
He's trying to sneak some Doobies into the bar.
I started thinking, I was like, you know what? We're going to have a karaoke contest here. Why don't you come on down? I think you have a chance to win this contest, Delano said.
Do you really think I do?
When Doobie showed up at the bar, Delano called the cops. We received a call here at the Clemsford Police Department right around 9 that night. And an individual who was dining at a restaurant in town saw who he believed was wanted in New Hampshire. By the New Hampshire authorities.
Nice spelling.
Clemsford Police Chief James Spiney said.
James Spiney.
So Doobie was charged as a fugitive from justice. I bet he got some kind of reward, you know, like cash. What are they, Crime Stoppers? I bet he got a Crime Stopper.
They said we got your cash outside. How about that?
So that's 2 weeks in a row, or two shows in a row, we've had karaoke nightmare stories. We got a bear story. We had a bear story last time. Remember the bear?
Oh, no.
We've had bear stories like three in a row
now. I know. This is the best one yet.
This is a good one.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Come on.
Bear breaks into family's house, plays the piano. After climbing through an open window of a home in Vail.
Oh, that's bad.
After climbing through an open window of a home in Vail, Colorado last week, a large black bear checked out the living room, then tried his paws at playing the piano.
Keep your filthy paws off my piano keys. I've got audio of him playing the piano.
It was a short music lesson. According to the security camera footage, the four-legged trespasser spent more time messing up the house while the homeowner was away last Wednesday. By the time the owner got home, the bear had gone back out the window. The woman initially thought vandals had broken into the house. Police found minor damage, including food missing from the freezer.
That's a smart bear.
The station reported the homeowner solved the mystery when she watched the camera footage.
Yeah, that'll do it. So we've got a bear that knows how to get into a freezer and make food. And we've got a bear, the same bear, oddly enough, that knows how to play the piano. I've got footage. I mean, I don't know.
Again,
footage.
With the footage.
I've got audio of his actual. This is the audio from the
footage. Surveillance.
You ready? He's messing around the house here. Oh, wait. That's wrong. That's not right. That's the wrong footage.
He's really good. Quit saying footage.
Here's the right footage. That's it.
And still better than most music today.
Oh, yes, it was. Let's hear it one more time. You want to hear it again? That's it.
It's pretty good.
And then he hopped down and went off and did his stuff. Messed up the house and had dinner, apparently.
You got a half-eaten burrito.
Hey, Taco Bell has...
Hey, your favorite restaurant.
You know what? I used to hate Taco Bell, but I find myself driving through that drive-thru every once in a while now for a nice... You know what I discovered? They've got this sauce called Diablo sauce.
Yeah.
And I know you're famous for naming a sauce. And
you having problems talking?
And you got a plaque at your house. And
I do.
A packet of sauce.
I won a contest years ago.
Yeah.
Where they started putting the words on the packets of sauce.
Yeah, and you made up some words.
And I made up, I submitted a bunch of them, and the one that they picked was like this Homer Simpson thing.
Yeah.
It was, sauce.
Yeah.
And it showed up on all the packs everywhere.
Yeah.
Me and another guy, they tied us because we both did the same thing apparently.
Tied us?
Yeah, this guy named Titus. So, that was my claim to fame.
So, anyway, here's the headline. Taco Bell has low-key become one of America's healthiest fast food chains.
Whatever.
It's the truth. It's true.
Say that while I'm eating.
It's true.
Like, when I was eating those deep fried chicken chip.
Well, that's
things.
What this story kind of explains a little bit. It says it seems a little weird that a restaurant that offers a Doritos shell taco.
Those are good.
Those are so good. That's one of the reasons I keep driving through. Those to be honest good. With you, would warrant
that was a moment of brilliance.
Would warrant that title, but it's the gospel truth. I don't think it's. I guess it's the good news truth.
I don't think it's good. I don't think it's actually in the gospel.
I don't think it is. Which gospel would it be in? You think, Matthew? According to Business Insider, Taco Bell has been restructuring menu choices from top to bottom, especially on the company website and mobile platform. The goal? To give consumers a choice. They can pick out on a Crunchwrap Supreme if they want, or they can go for a healthier option that's still quick service and delicious. And I've tried some of their healthier choices. They're pretty good.
But you go back to the other stuff.
I do. The Doritos taco pulls me back every time. Very few fast food chains today can claim a similar accomplishment. Much of the credit can be given to Taco Bell's dietitian and product developer, Missy Nelson. You know Missy,
yeah,
right?
Missy.
Missy Nelson. Take a minute.
We're supposed to believe a person named Missy Nelson's an expert on some kind of Mexican food.
At
Taco
this Bell.
Isn't really Mexican food.
No, it's not. Some would argue it's not even real food, but that's a different show.
Yeah.
Take a minute and wrap your head around the fact that Taco Bell actually has a dietitian.
Right.
And they do. Since Nelson joined the Taco Bell team, she's made huge strides towards taking out all artificial ingredients, switching to cage-free eggs, and offering lighter but still delicious options. On top of all that, there's been a 15% reduction in sodium across all the menu items, which is a subtle but brilliant move.
So that's a different way of looking at healthier. They are using healthier ingredients. But depending on what healthy ingredients you put together, you still make an unhealthy product.
Well, according to the numbers, they are one of the healthiest fast food restaurants. But do you know who number one is? This comes to us from Men's Health Magazine.
Panera.
No, the number one fast food.
Let me guess. Is it fast food?
It is fast food. Yeah, that's.
It's not Wendy's.
No, it's not
it's
Wendy's.
Not McDonald's.
No.
It's not Hardee's.
No,
it's
McDonald's. There's too many bras.
I'm just going to name everything. Subway.
Nope.
What is it?
Chick-fil-A.
I like them.
The healthiest fast food restaurant in the country.
Also bulletproof.
Yeah, yeah.
Say bad things about cash them outside with your chicken sandwich.
Cash outside.
That? Hey.
Yeah.
Idaho woman finds 1938 Nazi explosive in parent's shed.
Oh, man. I thought that said Idaho woman finds 1938 Nazi explosives.
It's those Nazi zombies. Have you ever seen the movie? Have you ever seen the zombie movie about the Nazis?
No, I don't watch zombie movies.
What's it called? But they're like zombie Nazis, and they come up out of the snow.
That's even worse than just a regular Nazi.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Can't remember what it's called.
Well,
there's two of them.
Way to go, Idaho.
Anyway.
Yeah.
They told her, hit it with a hammer.
Smack it with a hammer.
Smack it with a hammer. Meridian, Idaho. An Idaho woman said she discovered a Nazi explosive as she was helping her parents clean out their shed. Now, how does a Nazi explosive, what was that?
It was,
darn it.
How does a Nazi, any explosives that are Nazi explosives, make it into a shed in Idaho?
That's a great question. You know what? Somebody came back from the war and just stashed
brought
it
a souvenir.
There. Yeah.
Brought a deadly souvenir with them.
It's a live explosive.
Diana Landa identified the artifact by a Nazi insignia and the year 1938 etched on the bottom of it. It still had propellant on it. Propellant on it. Had a, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
propellant.
It had a propellant. It could take off if it wanted to.
It wanted to. Landa's parents have lived in their Meridian home for 25 years. They said they hardly used the old shed they cleaned out last week. They have no idea where the explosive came from and how it got there.
Wow. That's a mystery. They need to call Shaggy and the crew.
Or
yeah,
Robert Stack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he could unsolve that thing. In a
I wish I did a Robert Stack voice.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
No, that's pretty good. Can you do...
They didn't know hiding in their shed.
That's real good.
Was an explosive.
Can you do Elvis?
Thank you very much. Why Elvis?
It's just the first one I thought of.
Okay.
You know.
Anyway.
The king.
Unsolved mystery. I got to work on that. That sounded something. That was different.
That
didn't work.
Anyway,
can we get back to this
it.
Now?
I wish you would.
I had it for a second.
Yeah, you
and
did.
And then I abused it.
Yeah.
And
you took it for
it.
Granted is what you did.
I did. Landa brought the bomb back to her home, that seems safe, in Kuna, Idaho, and had planned to keep the artifact or donate it to a museum, but a coworker recommended she talk to experts first. He's like really into history,
like
Landa said of the coworker. He was saying it could be an explosive and how unstable these things can
yes.
be if they're old. Landa had been keeping the item in her own shed. Where are all these sheds?
Idaho is full of sheds.
But she
they
got
to have some place to keep all the potatoes.
I guess. She worried about what might happen to her neighbors if her coworker was right. They blow up. The Mountain Home Air Force Base bomb squad confirmed her co-worker's suspicions. The squad arrived to Landa's home on Thursday and x-rayed the device. The team identified it as a World War II era 37mm German round.
Wow.
That was, quote-unquote, found to be hazardous and has since... they have since destroyed it via detonation. It's a demolition.
That's the same detonation, thing. Same thing.
According to a public affairs spokesperson.
It demolished it.
Either way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Landa shared the news of her discovery on Facebook. She considered it a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's a little scary, she said. Now I think about it, maybe should have been more careful, but we didn't know anything about weapons.
It's
but
not
she
a
put
weapon,
it in the back
really.
Of her she put it in the back of her Toyota.
Yes.
And drove her home town. And one fender bender had been kablooey.
She'd have thought she was in one of those old Ford Pintos.
There'd been pieces of Landa all over the place.
All right, we got a weird update, Craig.
Again?
Yeah, and I don't have a weird update theme, so I'm just gonna play this.
Darn it.
Cash Me Outside, girl. Summer tour postponed.
We should have grouped these two together.
We should have, but we didn't, so it's not important. But you remember an episode or two ago, we talked about what's she going to do on this tour?
Yeah, she was going to lip sync to some songs.
And take questions from the audience or something.
Something, yeah.
So somebody said this isn't going to work. Anyway, fans of the infamous Cash Me Outside teen have to wait to see her perform live. Her summer tour is being...
quote, unquote.
Yeah, is being postponed until further notice. Her manager, she's got a manager.
Yep.
Her manager, Adam Kluger, told the Post. Danielle Bergoli, who we've already talked about once in this episode, and that was too much, whose baffling rise to stardom began on an ill-fated episode of Dr. Phil. We all know that story.
We know it.
So her manager said that the team is pushing the shows back to align better with other initiatives. Like real,
what, sending in the National Guard to take her out?
Like real entertainment. Due to an overwhelming response, we decided to look at larger venues. What in the
Rolling
world?
Rolling Stones now?
And reschedule events to better suit her growing audience, as well as some significant... What is wrong with this country? What is wrong with this world?
She could not possibly even have one tiny amount of stage presence.
I wouldn't think so.
She's going to walk out there and she's going to be like...
Ta-da.
Hello.
Hi, y'all. I'm about to lip sync.
No, she'll go. She'll go, hey, everybody, Cash Me Outside. How about that?
I'm afraid you may be right. The shows were advertised on her social media account and are still advertised on Live Nation and Ticketmaster, showing zero tickets available for both. Because you know why? They're postponed. They originally appeared to be sold out, but Kluger said no tickets were ever sold. So that's what we got. That's our update. So if you were planning on seeing...
So she never even sold any tickets.
No, she didn't sell it.
So it was all lie.
It was all, you know, baloney.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Easy.
I didn't like roast beef.
Beware.
Uh-oh.
There is a naked yoga enthusiast on the loose in Pueblo.
Darn it.
In Pueblo.
Pueblo.
In Pueblo Cruz, Colorado.
They're not bad.
What you going to do when she says goodbye?
Darn it.
You got to be old to get that. A naked yoga enthusiast is on the loose in Colorado, cops report. Around 6:45 a.m. Saturday, Aurora police received a 911 call about a naked man doing yoga in public.
Oh, my gosh. That's
doing yoga in public's bad enough. But an officer dispatched to the crime scene reported that I was unable to locate anyone in the area, clothed or otherwise.
Nobody around.
The patrolman, however, did locate a pile of abandoned clothing outside a nearby business. Coincidence?
I think not.
The items, pants, shirts, socks, underwear, and a pair of Nikes were collected by the officer and tagged as evidence. He walked back into the station wearing them. The incident...
He tagged his own stuff.
The incident, classified as indecent exposure, occurred adjacent to a strip mall.
Oh, I see what they did. I think that was an attempt at some journalistic humor because the man obviously had stripped.
Strip.
Yeah.
Mall.
Oh, boy.
Why do you dignify that?
I'm sorry. I take it back.
Hey, let's get on to something here.
Go Headline on. Is, man who...
I saw this picture.
Man who mowed lawn with a tornado behind him says he was keeping an eye on it.
That was a cool picture.
Yeah, it was. I saw it, too. A photo of a man in Alberta mowing a lawn with a tornado.
Stinking Canadian.
Easy, man. Mowing a lawn with a
tornado. We love Canadians.
Sure we do.
But
they smell nice, too.
A crazy Canadian, eh? He's going to be like out there mowing the yard, eh? I should have known by the bottle of Molson.
What if it was Geddy Lee?
He'd rush.
Rush inside. With a tornado swirling behind him, has been causing a bit of a storm on social media.
A storm.
Cecilia Wessels. Yeah, I do. Cecilia Wessels snapped a picture of her husband, Theonis, on Friday evening as the twister passed near their home in Three Hills. She says cutting the grass was on her husband's to-do list, and as he started the task, she went for a nap. Wessel says she was awoken by her 9-year-old daughter, who was upset that there was something like a tornado in the sky. But her father wouldn't come inside.
But it had flipping sharks coming out of it.
You could have. I've seen that. There have been no reports of injuries from the tornado, although some other photos show downed trees and a barn with its roof ripped off. I literally took the picture to show my mom and dad in South Africa. Look, there's a tornado. And now everyone else is like, why is your husband mowing the lawn? That's the real question, Craig.
Why do people care? This is an awesome picture.
Our whole street. Everyone was on their back patios taking pictures, she added. Theonis Wessel said he was keeping watch of his surroundings and saw the twister form as the swirling connected from the sky to the ground to form the tunnel. Theona said he watched a TV program about storm chasers, so he's familiar with them.
So you got people, amateurs and or quote-unquote professionals,
right,
that nobody bats an eye if they go chasing in their cars after a tornado.
Right.
This guy stays in his backyard, mows the grass, and keeps an eye on it. People lose their minds.
Yeah, everybody. What's that about? The internet went nuts.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Moments after getting a speeding ticket, he was clocked at 115 miles per hour. Now he's in jail. After receiving a speeding ticket, do you A, cooperate with a police officer and calmly drive on your way at the posted speed
limit?
That's
what I always do.
Or B, argue with the police officer, speed off, run a stop sign, and cut off a motorcycle?
I'm taking A.
The Monroe County Sheriff's Office says it booked a Houston, Texas man into Plantation Key Jail Wednesday night after he chose answer B.
Wrong answer.
As of Thursday morning, Stephen Kubas, 31, was in jail on a reckless driving charge and also misdemeanor, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia charges. Deputy Orlando Alvarez wrote in his report that he spotted Kubas driving his Chevrolet Corvette shortly before 11 p.m., going 81 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone southbound on US 1 near mile marker 104. Alvarez pulled Kubas over in a parking lot. According to Alvarez, Kubas was argumentative and denied he was speeding.
I wasn't going that fast, officer.
The gun says you did.
81 miles an hour, that's not speeding.
That's slow for this car. After Alvarez handed him a speeding ticket, Kubas told him he'd see him in court and sped off, Deputy Becky Heron, Sheriff's Office Media Relations Officer, said. Alvarez said Kubas drove directly in the path of an oncoming motorcycle, the driver of which was forced to take evasive action so as to not crash into the Corvette. Alvarez followed Kubas and wrote in his report that the Corvette was clocked at speeds as high as 115 miles per hour in a 45 miles per hour zone. Alvarez turned on his flashing lights and radioed ahead for other deputies to be on the lookout for Kubas' car. He pulled over at mile marker 102. Kubas told the deputy he was speeding because he was angry about getting a ticket, Heron said. Inside the Corvette, big surprise,
yep,
deputies found a small amount of marijuana, drug paraphernalia, and a 9mm pistol.
What was his name?
Kubas.
Hurry up, kids. You're going to miss the Kubas.
Kubas.
I'm just trying to think of ways to use that.
That really didn't work.
It did.
You want to get back with us?
No.
You want to work on that and come back around?
No. I've got a headline for you, though.
Okay.
Metro Detroit mother calls experts after giant spider found in a toddler's room. I know it's Metro Detroit, but we'll get to it, okay? This comes to us from Shelby Township, Michigan, WXYZ. A mom in Shelby Township found a spider in her son's bedroom. And look, gotta hear the kangaroo lie.
Why are we playing this song? Am I gonna find out in a minute?
And the local experts say it doesn't belong in Michigan. Jillian Duke and her family live in the Spring Hill Apartments in Shelby Township. Early Wednesday morning, she was in her 21-month-old son's bedroom when she spotted something funny. I looked over thinking it was a big ball of string, and it turned out it had eyes, and it was a big spider, said Duke.
Carrying a big ball of string.
I went to go reach for it, and I kind of backed up, and I said, that's just too much string. Duke said she panicked, called her husband and her parents. It's going to take three people. And dropped some heavy books on the spider, which he picked up and started reading.
He started bench pressing.
She said her dad's reaction frightened her even more. He's 73. He's pipelined across the country. He couldn't believe the size of the spider, and he's never seen anything like it, said Duke. She decided to get it identified and took it to Pets and Things.
Yeah, Pets and Things. They're the authorities for identifying everything on the planet, yes.
In Utica, because they specialize in spiders. The workers consulted entomologists, which means they looked it up on Google.
They consulted entomologists who are bug specialists.
Right, and they identified it. Australian huntsman spider.
I was going to say, is it a huntsman spider? Yep. How did he make it there?
We'll
did he have
find
a wee
out.
Little backpack with him?
He took the bus. which would be one of the largest spiders in the world.
They carry mice.
But completely harmless outside of an allergic reaction to its venom. That's not completely harmless.
It's venom?
I did. Said Randy John Lee, an employee at Pets and Things. But the spider is not native to Michigan or even this continent. It shouldn't be here. It probably came on a tropical plant, said Lee. Now Duke is wondering exactly how it got into her apartment, and she wants her complex to spray for insects right away. This thing is huge.
It's huge.
It needs a leash, said Duke.
You can't buy a leash for a spider.
You can.
Why is that music still playing?
Because I love it. Lee said the spider probably was shipped over in some plants from a big box store selling flowers and trees and big boxes.
You know, my oldest daughter, her apartment at school, they got a brown recluse problem.
Oh, gosh, yes, that's dangerous.
And we know someone that also that just... They actually just had a brown recluse bite.
Yeah, I saw that.
But some people...
I saw that on the social media.
Yeah, on the Facebook.
Yeah.
But some people don't have a reaction to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet I wouldn't.
I'd be the guy, my arm would just fall off immediately. Hey, dear, would you pick my arm up, please? It seems to have dropped on the ground.
You're like, something stinks. Hey!
Ow.
My arm.
Now I turn around, the brown recluse would be beating me with my own arm. Man gives strangers free Stanley Cup tickets after wrong number mix-up.
Doggone it.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, they weren't worth very much.
Number mix-up on Wednesday ended with two lucky Penguins fans getting free tickets to Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Okay, stop for a second. Let me ask you a question. How about them Predators?
Don't care.
Nashville Predators.
They got to win three more?
Tied up the series. They only got to win two more, my brother.
Two more,
my brother.
It's 2-2 right now, right?
Yeah. Series is tied. It's you know what it is now? It's best of three.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. There you go. I did that math.
Could I maybe talk...
Go ahead.
Amy
go
and
ahead.
Mike Santorna.
Yeah, talk about them.
Talk about
Amy and Mike.
Amy and Mike Santora are longtime Penguins fans.
Well, bless
like
their
too.
Heart.
I've been to the zoo, or not the zoo, but the aquarium thing, like in the East Tennessee.
Go ahead. Go ahead. There.
But the hardworking Verona couple is raising three daughters. Attending a high-priced playoff game was out of the question until Amy received a text early Wednesday evening offering four free tickets to that night's game. She returned the call. The man at the other end said he texted the wrong number. He called me back in less than 5 minutes later and said he found Julianne, the person he initially intended to contact, but she was only taking one set of tickets, so I could have the other.
Well,
how nice is that?
That is so nice. He must not be from Pittsburgh.
A pair of $329 tickets free.
I wonder where he's from. I wonder if he's a transplant from Nashville, because that's way too nice.
Yeah, we're nice down here.
Yeah.
This is happening as my husband is walking in, exhausted after 14 hours of work, Amy adds. Her husband wasn't sure whether or not it was a hoax. At any rate, he says, I'm like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's not, so be it. We'll go watch the big screen with the other crazy thousands of people down there.
Excuse me.
What was that?
Not my stomach.
Her husband wasn't sure whether or not it was a hoax. At any rate, he said, I'm like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's not, so be it.
He said. Then he said it is to be or not to be.
That's the question. We'll go watch the big screen with the other crazy thousands of people down there. Pens fans. What's that?
Penguins fans.
Oh, Penguins fans.
Yeah. Pennsylvania. Penguins.
I thought you had to be able to read to be a... There was no traffic on the way in to 28... What, to 28?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's the highway.
There was no traffic on the way in, which was unbelievable, Amy marvels. This was at 7:38 p.m., by the way.
Oh, puck drops at 8.
Their lucky night continued as they approached a jam-packed parking lot. The attendant came running out and said, a car just left. Come on in.
Wow.
Will call tickets gave them a seat just behind the goalie. They snapped photographic memories that will last a lifetime, unless they're not on archival paper or there's a fire. It was all made possible by a stranger. Amy Santora is grateful for the wonderful evening. Whoever you are, thank you.
Headline is, woman accused of robbing a bank for crab legs gets $1 million bond. Police are accusing a Detroit
woman. The woman has crab legs?
She does now.
That's rude.
Police are accusing a Detroit woman of robbing a Livona bank and using the money to buy crab legs, among other things. Chloe Adams, age 25, was formally charged in court with bank robbery Thursday, according to Livona police officials. A judge set her bond at $1 million and scheduled her next appearance in the 16th District Court in Livona for Thursday. Police said Adams allegedly entered the Citizens Bank branch on Five Mile near Middle Belt on Saturday morning and presented the teller with a note demanding $10,000 or things would get bloody, Craig.
Wow.
She didn't say she had a gun or anything.
She might have said a bucket of pig's blood or something.
She fled the area with about $5,000, so things didn't get bloody. She didn't get her $10,000. She lied, it is. Detective tracks.
So that means her credibility is shot now.
She's done. Detectives tracked Adams down at her home Thursday and arrested her.
Because it was really Tuesday when they did it.
It was Tuesday, wasn't it? The next day, officers executed a search warrant.
They executed her?
At her home and found evidence linking her to the bank robbery. Adams has been cooperating with investigators, according to the authorities, and told detectives she spent most of the stolen money to buy a delinquent car loan, a trip to Chicago, crab legs, host a weekend cookout, and buy Nike Air Jordans. She robbed a bank for luxury items. It wasn't like she had a sick child. It wasn't like she was living on the streets in cold. She just wanted Air Jordans and crab legs.
And what's wrong with
that? Well, there's a lot wrong with that.
I mean, what's wrong with it is the actual robbing part.
That's the,
who cares what she wanted? She still robbed somebody.
Yeah, but usually, you know, you can have a little sympathy if it was something like, you know, I don't know.
You want to play that theme music again since you talked through it all? Hey, it's time for the Flash Checkers top 10 list.
Man, oh man.
Today's top 10 brought to you by nobody.
Flash Checkers. Yeah.
Most original cover bands.
I love a good cover band.
Number 10.
Yeah, go ahead.
GABA.
I like GABA.
They're an ABBA cover band in the style of the Ramones.
Yes, that's, and like, they're fantastic.
Like all three chords?
Yes. Number 9, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. I'm actually a big fan of Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
I like the name.
Formed
in the 1995.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes specializes in punk covers of 60s and 70s light rock and folk tunes. Now, let's stop right here, and I'll let you know why I like Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. Number 1, they covered Keep on Loving You by REO Speedwagon. Number 2, they were hired to do a bar mitzvah. And they decided, you know what? We're going to make a live album out of this bar mitzvah. So they made a live album, and during the whole set, you could hear forks and knives on plates and just people chatting.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really, really classy.
Number 8, Nouvelle Vague.
Yes.
Nouvelle.
Yeah, I don't know them. Nouvelle
Vague.
I don't know them.
A French band that does bossa nova style covers of new wave songs. I got to keep this list.
Number 7, Gregorian. A German band which does Gregorian chants of popular songs. I got to hear some of that.
Heard it from a friend. Does it all go back to REO?
It does. Often covering songs that have religiously themed lyrics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 6. Oh, I know this guy.
I know Richard Cheese.
I do too. I don't know him, but I know who he is.
Yeah.
Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine. I didn't know we had Lounge Against the Machine.
Not only that,
I knew
that's
it was
awesome.
Just Richard Cheese. I knew that. The Lounge Act. All our favorite rock and metal stars will be doing someday in Vegas.
Number 5, Ron Dellis. Ever wonder what Black Sabbath would sound like if they had formed during the 14th century?
No.
Well?
I don't know. Number 4, Pat Boone.
He's not a cover band.
An artist that has more original materials than cover songs, but his 1997 album, In a Metal Mood, No More Mr. Nice Guy, must be included here for its campy take on several hard rock and heavy metal classics. He caught heat.
Oh, I remember.
Because he was wearing leather and stuff on the front. People had a fit. I thought, you know what, Pat?
I've got the album, by the way, and it's really fun. It's a fun disc.
Well, he just shows how cool he is.
Number 3, Luther Wright and the Wrongs. Canadian alt-country band Luther Wright and the Wrongs are most widely known for their country bluegrass remake of the Pink Floyd epic, The Wall.
Wow. Ooh, number 2 I really like.
Number 2 I've seen in concert.
They're awesome. Hey Seed Dixie.
I saw them live.
Originally started as a bluegrass AC/DC cover band in 2001, Hey Seed Dixie has branched out to cover many other bands and styles. And the most number 1 original cover band is?
Number 1, Dread Zeppelin. A Led Zeppelin cover band with an Elvis impersonator as lead singer. I've heard some of their stuff, and it's fun.
You know, it didn't make the list.
He's pretty good. Who?
Is it called Tiny Kiss? What's the? Were they called Tiny Kiss?
Little Kiss.
Little Kiss?
I think it's
like
Little
that.
Kiss, yeah.
Anyway, Little People.
Yeah.
And they dress up like kids.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
But Led Zeppelin vocalist Robert Plant has said that Dread Zeppelin is his favorite Led Zeppelin cover band.
He's always high, though.
Yeah, something's wrong with that guy, you know?
Nah, he's cool.
Now, is he?
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know.
I was giving the benefit of the doubt.
Anyway,
bye.
Thanks a lot for listening to Weird, and we hope you come back for the next episode.